each workshop has to be that way. We have to keep on schedule or we really get messed up. So without further ado, Pastor Ouellette, and that is French?
It is. It's spelled with an O, pronounced like a W. The French word for west is O-U-E-S-T, and it's pronounced west. Psalm 71 and verse 18, the Bible says, verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and bald-headed, well, that's a little adjustment I made to the text. Old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power unto everyone that is to come. Lord, guide me by your Spirit to say those things that will most help the most people. And use this to be a profitable time for your work and for our service in it. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been assigned the topic of keeping evangelistic zeal in your church through the problem. There is a church that used to be not far from here called the Indianapolis Baptist Temple. At one time it ran 50 buses. I don't know what it's doing now, but it's not doing that. There's a church about 100 miles from where I pastor called the Temple Baptist Church of Detroit. They ran 3,500 a Sunday when I came to Bridgeport. It at one time had run more than that. And they transitioned, and now they're the North Ridge Church. And you can look them up on YouTube. You can't play the music, but get their Easter service from 2008, and it's unbelievable. I never knew. I didn't know the contemporary church was that bad. I got the video downloaded and played it without the sound to our people. There was a church in Ohio called the Akron Baptist Temple. Man came up from West Virginia. Couldn't find a church like his used to, started one, got to running 5,000 in Sunday school. And recently for their Sunday evening service, they had a lady come in and tell jokes. She was a Christian comedian and a joke teller. It happens. But there's a church in Cleveland, and the founding pastor, Dr. Roy Thompson, wisely transitioned over to Dr. Kevin Folger, and that church is preaching from the same Bible and still winning people to Christ, and many years later still doing the work of God. But my good friend, Dr. John Wilkerson, has become the pastor at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And you know what? They are still running buses and winning souls and going after people. And I love Brother Wilkerson. I have tremendous confidence in him. So it happens, but it doesn't have to. And the psalmist said, here's what I did. I've declared thy wondrous works from my youth. When I was a very young man, my dad taught me how to win people to Christ. Amen. There's a little booklet written by a man named Ace Edwards called Life's Greatest Question. And I, not exaggerated, I knew how to win people to Christ before I knew how to read. I could take the pictures in that book and know what I was supposed to tell them. And I'd give the gospel to my little friends in the kindergarten playground or first grade recess. They'd say, how many of them were sincere? I haven't the faintest idea. But it sure was a good thing for me to learn to declare his wondrous works.
Amen.
From my youth. And then the psalmist said, now I'm old. And he said, you know, don't let me go until I can let this generation and everyone that is to come see thy power. So let me run you through a quick outline and just a little bit of introductory stuff, the first several points. The principle here is that there was a passion. If you lose interest and just go through the motions, so will everybody else. And the psalmist was burdened to get God's truth and show God's power to the next generation. You know what we really want to do? We want them to stay King James. We want them to stay Baptist. We want them to stay separated from the world. We really want them to stay close to God.
Amen.
If you have a commitment to the Word of God and you have a commitment to truth and a personal relationship with God, you're not going to go too far off. And then there was a perpetuity. Did you know that the Great Commission is self-perpetuating? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. People say, well, that means you've got to teach them to read the Bible, and you've got to teach them to pray, you've got to teach them to go to church, and you've got to teach them to live separated from the world. I'm sure it may mean all those things, but whatever all things means, it has to include telling people how to get saved, because that's what the verse was about.
Right.
And our friends on the academic side of things who are so big on keeping things in context kind of miss the context there. In other words, I'm supposed to give this brother the gospel, he gets baptized, and then I teach him when people to Christ, he wins this brother to Christ, he teaches him that he ought to get baptized, teaches him when people to Christ, he teaches him. I'm trying to tell you, Amway didn't invent multi-level marketing. The business of signing up people to sign up people to sign up people to sign up people is in the Word of God. So then you see the pattern. I want you to see what happens. happens in churches. Whenever a new pastor comes and God blesses and the church begins to grow, there's a spirit of revival. Now, revival means literally to begin to live again. Vive is the word for life, re is to do it again. Dr. Flanders, who knows as much about revival as anybody I know, and we are privileged to have him as a member of our church, says that it's resuming the normal Christian life. He wrote a little book about it called Back to Normal. And so what happens, the pastor comes in, he gets excited, he wins people to Christ, the church gets excited, they see people coming, they start buying into his burden, and so he moves from revival into recruitment. Then he teaches a soul winning class, or he takes somebody soul winning with him and trains him, and then they each take somebody else and they train them. And after a while, they get it organized, and that moves into regimentation. And now we got it down. And we know when to go to the new person, and we know which soul winning group to sign him up in, we know which material to give him, and we know what books he's going to read, and it's all really good. And then over a period of time, the regimentation is there, but the revival's not there. And you see a kind of a relaxation. And the pastor is content maybe to just make a visit and then go home early. After all, he's been busy. And he doesn't really want to spend time training other people because, you know, if you got somebody with you, you got to stay out until it's quitting time. And you can't stop by and, do errands for your wife and that sort of stuff. And ultimately, it leads to ruin. This same cycle has been noted before. Somebody said God starts with a man. The man figures out a method. He gathers around a bunch of people to him and they become a movement. The movement becomes a machine. And it really dies on the inside, but it coasts for a long time. And after a while, it becomes a mortuary. You know, the two greatest reproaches we bear if we live a biblical life are the matters of soul winning and separation. The business of confronting individuals with the gospel is almost never practiced in the emergent church. Now, there are a few examples. I've witnessed people one time at the airport in L.A., and the guy was a member of Greg Laurie's church, and he was a fervent soul winner. He had been overseas, told me about people he'd led to Christ and things that he'd done. But typically speaking, there won't be any emphasis on separation from the world, which is kind of in the Bible just a little bit, if you read it. And there won't be any soul winning. I tell young preachers, we have to distinguish between people who are innovative and people who are compromisers. And sometimes you won't know the difference for a little while. Okay? Every great leader has been innovative. Jack Hiles did things that were revolutionary. He ran 9,000 buses. He put his picture on everything. He put his name on everything. In the 60s, he gave away cruises for Sunday school prizes. You thought it was bad to give a $100 bill? He literally did that in the 60s. Incredible what he did. Then a group of people followed him. They followed his method and his pattern. And then if you did anything different, you were a compromiser. So Paul Chappell came along, my good friend, and he did four-color tracts. He got preached against for having four-color tracts. We haven't done it that way in our movement. Of course not. We run them off in the mimeograph machine. If there's not seven errors in the tract, it's not fundamental. So, I'm all for innovation. I am not for compromise. I tell my young friends, you stay King James and you stay Baptist and you won't go too far wrong. Because that crowd won't let you do either of those very long. By the way, the tolerant crowd, they're not all that tolerant. They don't tolerate our Bible. They don't tolerate our Baptist doctrine. They're not much for that. All right. Number three, you have the problem. Here's what happens. I'm going to preach a sermon on this. I heard a guy, and it wasn't a great sermon. It was a great idea. So I'm going to write my own sermon. Hopefully it'll be a better sermon. But it's his idea. But he pointed out, I've never seen this before. In Revelation 2, you get the church at Ephesus. And I know thy work, and I know thy labor, and I know thy patience. But I have somewhat against thee. But in 1 Thessalonians, the Thessalonians were one of the best churches in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, a model church, an example church, the Bible says. And he said to them, the same words are there in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, but there's an adjective with each of them. It doesn't just say work and labor and patience. It says, I know thy work of faith and thy labor of love and thy patience of hope. Now the church at Ephesus, they still had work. And they still had labor and they still had patience, but it wasn't a work of faith. It wasn't a labor of love. It wasn't a patience of hope. There's a sermon in there somewhere. And so here's what happens. Number one, there is a loss of fervor. When we start soul winning, man, we're excited about it. We had a young man we'd taught to go soul winning, and he saw some nuns walking out of a convent. He was out in teenage zone. He ran up to the nun and said, "Hey, can I give you some good news? If you died today, you know whether or not you go to heaven?" And the lady said, "Young man, I'm a nun." He said, "Nuns can get saved too." We started a thing called Young Fisherman's Club. And the young fishermen, man, they're kids third through the sixth grade. And it's a marvelous thing. See, it does what was done for me. I learned how to do it early. It became natural, habitual, a part of my life. And I remember one little kid, the guy told me about when he came back, jumped off the porch and said, I got one. It starts out with that. But after a while, it's just doing your job. And when that happens, there's a lessening of faithfulness, and ultimately there's a lack of faith. You know what people have been winning souls for a long time think? They think, well, you know, I talked to all these people, and all these people made a profession of faith, and a few of them came to church, but most of them didn't amount to anything. I just soon stayed home and watched television or worked on my garden or relaxed a little bit in my backyard swimming pool as to spend all that time out there. But God said His word would never return void. Now, I believe the Bible, whether I see it happening or not. Apparently, there was some emphasis on that last night in the sermon. We have, for several years now, done a thing called Public School Teacher Sunday. We try to get the teachers of our bus kids and the kids in our church who aren't in Christian school to come, and we recognize them in the service. We have Christian school, but I want our public schools to do a good job, not a bad job. And if you want a hard job, try to teach in a public school. So, especially in our area. And so we recognize them. First time we did it, this lady stood up, very attractive looking, nice African-American young lady. And we took the microphone around. We only had three people come the first time we did it. So I took the microphone around, let them all say a word. And she said, "I'm so-and-so, and I teach at such-and-such a school, and so-and-so is my student." And she said, "I was saved here through riding your buses." And she said, "I do not worship with you now, but I'm in a Bible preaching church." Not a church I would preach at, but a church that preaches the gospel. And it was a marvelous illustration for our people. People say, "Where are they?" I don't know where they all are, but that one was teaching in public school and showed up at our church. So, a lack of faith. And here are the particulars, all right? Here's exactly what happens. Roman number 4, we've had the principle, the pattern, the problem, the particulars. Letter A, the preacher slows down. You know, I observed something as a young man. Older preachers didn't go soul much. I mean, they got in their mid-40s, 50s. They were too busy. They're out preaching all the time. They got too much to do, and so they run the meeting and go back to their office. Now, I run the meeting and go back to my office sometimes because I don't go soul winning every time we have soul winning. Because we have soul winning on Tuesday morning, a couple groups on Thursday morning, we have it on Saturday morning, we've had some folks go out on Monday night, we have some folks go out on Wednesday afternoon. I don't go to all of them. But I go out. And I watch that, and I thought, that's what happens. And you get too busy. It's one of the hardest things you will fight. Now, I'm pretty busy. I preach in 65 meetings a year. I've been doing that for some years. I have some responsibilities outside of my church. Dr. Smith asked me to put an article in the Sword every 2 weeks. Dr. Chapel lets me put something in the Baptist Voice when it comes out every quarter. I do a little paper called The Preacher's Page. And I do a few things like that. And I pastor a church. And I still try to be there and love and help and care for our people. But you know, I know if I don't go soul winning, then I'm going to lose all of the legitimacy that I have when I encourage others to go soul winning. So almost always starts, preacher slows down, then the leaders slow down. There's a great verse in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "But the nobles put not their neck to the work." I meet with my deacons most years one time. You can do whatever you want to do. It works real well for us. So I show them the budget. I take any recommendations for other deacons for the next year, and then they dismiss and they vote on my salary. I set everybody else's salary and they set my salary. And that's all. But you know, I'll sometimes say, "Now guys, some of you are busy, some of you are traveling and stuff, and I appreciate that. And remember now, if we're going to be a deacon, we've got to be a good example, we've got to be going soul winning. And so if you feel like you couldn't keep that up, I understand, I won't fuss at you, but be sure that if you're going to be a deacon, you stay faithful with that." And I've gone to deacons' houses on soul winning night. Watched them working in their garden. Just came by to say hi. I know. I got responsibility. If you don't watch it, the soul winners and the bus workers in your church will become the lower class people. You better watch it. You better sure the nobles put their neck to the work. And then, after that, the laborers slow down. So here's the what to do about it deal. And I may give you some change back at the end of the time here. We'll see. But if not, that's all right. But if you have extra time, I'm always glad to answer questions. I like to answer questions, first of all, because I have an answer to every question. Usually the answer is, I don't know. But if I don't know, I can call my wife and she'll tell me what to say. But I also like it because then I know at least one person's interested in what I'm saying. Whereas the rest of the time, I don't know if anybody cares anything but what I say. So here's the prescription. Letter A, be sure you have the right motive. The soul winning will build your church. Maybe, maybe not.
Come on.
Well, you know, we want to go soul winning because we want to set the example for other churches in our area. It's good to be a good example, but I don't find the command in Scripture to go soul winning to set the example. It's not even just to get people saved.
That's right.
You see, it'd be right to preach the gospel to every creature if nobody got saved.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Yes. You understand that? Yeah. You know, the parable of the sower teaches a very inefficient method of communicating the gospel. If we were setting it up, we'd save all the seed for the good ground. Yeah. We didn't spend any time on the wayside.
Yeah.
We wouldn't spend any time on the stony ground. We wouldn't spend any time on the thorny ground. If I'm a farmer, I'm not going to put any seed on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it in a field that's got stones a few inches down and the roots will never develop enough to bring any fruit forth on what I'm planting. I wouldn't do that. But the parable of the sower tells us God wants the gospel everywhere. We preach the gospel so that man may be justified before God, and so that God, in a sense, may be justified before man, so that they are without excuse. So it's not just to get people saved. Here's what soul winning is, in my view. It is an eternal principle. It's always been right for people who know God to tell people who don't know God about God.
Right.
Do you know the Bible in the Old Testament says if you forbear to deliver those that are ready to be delivered to death, you forbear to warn them that God will judge you. That's in Proverbs chapter 24, I think. It's always been right. Daniel was a soul winner and Nebuchadnezzar was an Old Testament convert. The verse that says he that winneth souls is wise is in the Old Testament, not in the New Testament.
Right.
So it's not just about getting people saved. It is about giving people the truth. So make sure you have the right motive. I want my hands to be free from the blood of all men. That's in the book of Acts. It's also in the book of Ezekiel. Twice in the book of Ezekiel. Now, if I warn the wicked and he doesn't turn from his wicked way, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but I've delivered my soul. So make sure you have the right motive. It's just right. It's just right. You know, the Bible says we are put in trust with the gospel. I'm a trustee on a few... what time are we supposed to be done, by the way?
10 after,
okay, that's what I thought. But then I thought, boy, if it's 10 o'clock, I'm in trouble. I'm a trustee in some people's estates. They did living trusts instead of wills because you don't have to probate it and the lawyer doesn't get 7-10% of your entire net worth for executing some papers you already paid him to draw up. Now the deal is, the guy who's the executor, the guy who's the trustee, as I understand the law, it's been explained to me by a lawyer, can do anything he wants with that money. The lawyer said the problem with this system is you must trust your trustee. So I could take the money and it says give this to this person and this to this person. I just keep it all legally, not ethically. Well, I'm putting trust with the gospel.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with it? I'm supposed to give it to every creature.
Yeah.
I can't morally, I can't ethically hold it to myself. Make sure you have the right motive. Letter B, make sure you have the right model. Pastor must go, staff must go, leaders must go. It must be a normal part of your church experience. So make sure that, so we get the motive, there's letter A into the prescription, the model, they must have an example. If your soul winning stories are all 10 years old, you better get out there. You know, did you know, if you serve God like you're supposed to, life's an adventure.
Amen. Yeah.
I explore. I just don't know who I'm going to meet, what I'm going to find out, who I'm going to talk to, what I'm going to learn about. I meet the most interesting people. You say, I never meet anybody. I know, because you don't talk to anybody. So it's not hard. You know, I'll get on the airplane and I'll say, hey, can I give you something I wrote? Best news I know. It tells you how to go to heaven. Delta usually doesn't fly that far. Made a couple trips, but they were unscheduled. And I have people get mad at me. I have people get upset because we wasted paper to put that there. I have people say, well, that's very negative. And I have people read the tract and pray and trust Christ without me talking to them. And I have people that I talk to, and they get saved. And I meet all kinds of interesting people. When you go out soul winning, it's exciting. You'll have things to tell about and talk about. And let her see the maintenance. Make sure that you have accountability. Somebody said, people, you don't get what you expect, you get what you inspect. But the chapel says people won't respect what you don't inspect. And then the method. Let me give you just a couple quick thoughts. Everything you do gets stale and old after a while. Everything. All right? So you have to look for ways to freshen it up. You can go on our website, the number 2, and then FBC.com. And there's a new approach to soul winning we put on there called CYF, Communicate Your Faith. And it's all in little booklets. And it's like Awana used to be, or like Reformers Unanimous material is. They're challenges. And the first booklet is witnessing. I tried everybody, get everybody in the church to be a witness. That's not soul winning. But book one, challenge number one, take 5 to 10 tracks from the tract rack. Keep them on your person at all times. So when I presented our people, I said, how many of you can do this? Most of us do that. And challenge number two is leave them in a public place. I said, how many can do this? And then give them to people. And then learn to get people's names and addresses. Find people who are interested. There's a lot of people out there looking for something, but we don't know who they are. They don't have a blue light flashing on their forehead. We got to talk to everybody. Train your people to do it. Anyway, there's 5 booklets. You can look at that. But you'll have to change it. You'll have to change the time you do it. You'll have to change the approach that you do it. You'll have to have a blitz. You'll have to have an all-church soul winning. We do that sometimes. We try to get all the groups come together on a Saturday morning and go out. You'll sometimes take a busload of people and go down to some place where there's lots of folks, or go downtown. But you'll have to vary the method to keep people interested. Sometimes we've done a deal where we make a bunch of phone calls. We send out a letter to people, and I'll give you more ideas about that later, but I don't want to exceed my time limit. I'll tell you quick. We sent out the Dick Allen letter. Dick Allen's a guy who got saved in our church. He was a buyer for General Motors. And after he got, he'd be sharp, you know, good-looking guy before he got saved, and after he got saved. So after he got saved, he looked the same. We sent out a letter with a picture of him that said before, and a picture said after, and the top of the letter said, look what First Baptist Church of Bridgeport did for Dick Allen. That's not me. I didn't do that. Yeah, technology's wonderful. We'll get that in a minute. Okay. He said, all I have to do is hit the space bar. That's what they always say, some simple thing like that. And then they blame you and it doesn't go right. And so then we'd say, don't see any difference? Well, Dick says, his wife says he's easier to get along with. His family says he seems more secure. The guys at work say he seems happier. And Dick says he now knows why he's alive. And then we said, First Baptist Church, it'll bless you if you let it. And then we said, First Baptist Church of Bridgeport offers a free course in meaning, purpose, fulfillment, a free course in living every Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and Sunday night at 6. And then we sent out those letters to large areas, and we'd call everybody. We'd get a city directory. It's harder to do now with the landlines. But we'd call everybody, and then we'd follow up on the ones who were interested. So we are now going to people we've already talked to. Okay, so there's a bunch of different things you can do to use different methods. But here's one of the most important things, letter E, the mentioning. Did you know, I love what Brother Monty said. Younger brother goes away, the older brother's still home. I say it this way, there are always people in your church who are doing poorly, and there are always people in your church who are doing well. Now pray for the ones that are doing poorly and go after them and try to get them back and keep. I have this little picture in my mind. I try to keep a bridge between me and them when they go. Try to keep the door open. All right? So if they want to walk back, they can. Yes, sir, I see that hand. Are there others? He's, by the way, he's exactly right. I have iPad time, and he's exactly right. Okay? But there are always people doing well, and I talk about the people who are doing well. I talk about the people who are getting saved. Sometimes I'll say, I want to take some testimonies tonight, and I want you to tell me something good God did in your life recently. And we'll just take the microphone around, and I always say something recently. Or we'll talk about the hand of God. How many have seen the hand of God in your life? Now, most of them tend to be about somebody witnessed to. Somebody led to Christ. Somebody gave the gospel to, and that keeps it alive in our church. If somebody gets saved Sunday morning, if they're back Sunday night, I say, boy, we're glad to have so-and-so here. They got saved this morning, got baptized, and here they are again tonight. And here they are Wednesday night, and here they are next Sunday. Always talk about it because it keeps it fresh in people's mind. When I was doing this session yesterday, I went back to look and see where I was, and I had very early written the first or the other two sessions I was asked to do. And I realized I had not completed this session. And so I was working on it, and I thought, well, I'll tell the story of Jeff Lee. And then I thought, no, I'll play the DVD. So it's a 3-minute and 16-second DVD. I didn't do this for this meeting. I didn't even know what was happening. We have Ministry Month at our church. We tell the stories on video of different ministries and encourage people to get involved in it. 1 week ago Sunday, this DVD was played in our church. And I didn't even know the time factor or anything when we asked the man to do it. Amen.
God, what we're doing as well, and a fight of God.
Amen. I'm on time. How much time do I have left?
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Anybody got a 30-second question? All right. Then I'll give you 30 seconds worth of change. Yes, sir.
Your church.
First Baptist Church of Bridgeport, right outside of Saginaw. About 100 miles north of Detroit. Yes, sir. That man lives up in Bay City. He's about 30 minutes away from us. Comes to every service. So. All right. You listen.
I'm good. Thank you. Remind me of your name.
My name is Brother Trent.
Trent.
Yes.
I'm Lloyd Reed. I'm the youth pastor at Noblesville Baptist Church.
Okay.
In Noblesville, Indiana.
Okay.
So
that'll help me because I'll just tell them out you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get these. How long does this start?
20 after. We got time. We got time.
Five minutes left. I'll raise up front of my hand. I won't wait. I'll just give you five.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'll give you 2 minutes. And then when you're out of time, I'll walk to you. So
sure.
That'll just show you that.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
No one else is using the projector, right? I'm aware of it.
Good, man.
You teach this class?
I am.
Wow, man. Big time now.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I know your name because of the class. I remember we met before.
Yeah, remind me of your name.
Tim